Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. August 18, 2020. Medium published my new article Loneliness Kills. A few days ago, a young man in Israel, a school teacher, killed himself. He had students, he had tenure, he was healthy, handsome, eloquent, and he was lonely. In a Facebook post, he wrote his final note, "It is not good for the man to be alone, loneliness kills." Another day, another week, another month, another year goes by and I'm alone. At lunch, at work, in the evening, on weekends, on holidays, and on birthdays that no one remembers. The few friends have gone, faded in time, it is time to leave. Suddenly, when COVID-19 came along and forced us to take a break from mutual annihilation, we began to feel the emptiness we have inside. That man was not unique in his emotions. His words on social media capture the curse of our time. We are all connected, yet so alone. Loneliness has become so heavy these days precisely because we should have been so much more connected than we are. We're so late in our development. By now, we should have been a connected humanity that feels that we are one system whose parts complement each other and reciprocate with one another for the sake of humankind and all of nature. Instead, until just recently, we have been immersed up to our necks in the quagmire of mutual destruction that we proudly, and mistakenly, called capitalistic economy and progress. Suddenly, when COVID-19 came along and forced us to take a break from mutual annihilation, we began to feel the emptiness we have inside. But what else could we have within us? When everyone hates and fears everyone else to the point that you stop talking and communicate by texting, and you build around you walls of false confidence and fake smiles to hide your insecurity, when suddenly you are alone, you realize that you have no idea who you are, how to be with yourself, or what you really want because you have been busy all your life erecting walls against the hostile outside world. And no one calls because they're all in the same situation. Everyone is lonely and afraid of being hurt. Being alone means you are ignored, that people don't care about you, so some people prefer to end their lives as long as at some point, even if it's their final moment, somebody will care. Why we can't connect. Humanity is different from all other parts of nature in that we must evolve of our own accord. Our evolution is far less physical compared to other species, and far more emotional, intellectual, and social. At the height of our evolution, we are intended to experience the wholeness of the system we call the universe. Nature develops all other elements besides humanity through instincts. Humans are largely devoid of them. When an animal is born, it immediately knows where to find food, can often walk within a few hours, and generally behaves like any other animal of its kind. Humans, on the other hand, can barely move their hands and legs when they are born, and remain utterly helpless for years. Humans, unlike animals, have to gain their knowledge by themselves through hard work. In human society, just as a human infant, we have to learn one step at a time how to become social beings and how to build a good society for ourselves. We are evolving through our own desire to improve our situation. And we are not evolving randomly, but in a clear direction, toward greater cohesion, greater care for one another, greater mutual responsibility, and eventually to love for one another. When a child is hungry, it cries because an empty stomach feels bad. When a person is lonely, he cries because an empty heart feels very, very bad. Heartache hurts much more than an empty stomach. But the loneliness so many feel today is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the darkness before the dawn. Now we are beginning to realize that we must transform everything, and first and foremost our relationships. To make a change, we have to feel that the present is unbearable. And nothing is more unbearable than loneliness. We can prevent such tragedies as suicide because of loneliness if we stop insisting on returning to our previous, backward state of free economy that is reigned by egoism, and start advancing to the state of mutual concern and empathy we should have been in long ago. Along the way, we will discover that it's not only better to care for each other than fear one another, it is also how all of reality works but us, until we, too, reach that state. Michael Leitman, on Quora, how long will it be until we have a coronavirus vaccine? First, if we could look at the intentions behind the global race for a coronavirus vaccine, then what would we see? Would we see a sincere concern of experts and world leaders to improve humanity's health? Or would we see a cutthroat pursuit to be the first to birth a major source of new income for their country's economy, as well as an ability to flaunt their country's gleaming status and pride as being smarter and more adept than other countries for winning this race? Since human nature is egoistic, prioritizing self-benefit over benefiting others, then it should come as no surprise that the latter inclinations are the primal driving factors behind the pursuit for a coronavirus vaccine. This race thus becomes a reflection of the same overblown egoistic human relations that stand behind the disease in the first place. So even if we develop a vaccine, we can expect it to fall short of providing us with a lasting remedy. On the contrary, without correction of our egoistic inclinations, we can only expect our problems to worsen. What does it mean that our egoistic relations are behind this disease? When we can view the coronavirus pandemic as part of a process unfolding in nature that guides our eventual exit from our egoistic nature, and entrance into a new positively connected reality, balanced with nature, then we can see how the coronavirus emerged primarily as a blow to the very ego that nature pressures us to exit. Therefore, no matter what sophisticated vaccines we come up with, if we fail to use this pandemic in order to increase our awareness of the greater process we are in, and of what nature ultimately wants from us, then we will inevitably have to experience harsher blows in order to wake us up to the goodness that exists outside of our divisive egos. The main discovery we thus need to make with this pandemic is not outside us, in the form of a vaccine, but inside us, in the form of upgraded attitudes to each other, from egoistic, indifferent and even hateful, to altruistic, caring and loving. Moreover, the coronavirus has laid out before our very eyes just how connected we are, showing how a minuscule particle that surfaced in a small Chinese province became humanity's common problem, placing people around the world into similar restrictive conditions. In other words, through the coronavirus, nature shows us how connected and interdependent we are, while at the same time, this should illuminate how much we are disconnected and divided in our egoistic attitudes to each other. The parallel opposite tendency of becoming increasingly interdependent while also becoming more and more egoistic is a recipe for disaster. Therefore, the sooner we implement a change in our attitudes to each other in order to align ourselves with the connectedness surrounding us, then the sooner we will develop immunity to the coronavirus and to other even stronger diseases, without needing to stick any needles into our veins. Medium published my new article No Black Without White. When society is falling apart, it's not because one side is wrong and the other side is right, it's because neither wants to unite. By nature, we want anything that doesn't please us to disappear. If you think differently from me, I want you out of my life, and preferably out of existence. This is the natural thinking of every person, to various extents. But nature didn't endow us only with this nature, it also gave us the ability to think and choose. When we learn that our lives, their meaning, and their continuity depend on the persistence of the ones we hate, we will value the reality that created everything, and we will be able to build love for the wholeness above the hatred for the part. Only then will there be peace and happiness. Nature endowed us with the ability to observe and to learn that nothing exists unless its opposite supports its existence. Planet Earth, for example, is kept in orbit thanks to the balance between the Sun's gravitational pull toward it, and the centrifugal force that pushes it away from it. Likewise, our lives revolve around the hours of darkness and light, and our vision relies on the range between seeing all the colors together, creating the color white, and no colors at all, creating the color black. Heat and cold, hunger and fullness, attraction and rejection, love and hate, all those are opposites that make our lives what they are. The opposite of our lives don't deny or refute one another, they enable and complement one another. If we could only realize that as it is in all of reality and as it is with us, so it is with our fellow people, imagine what an inclusive, welcoming world we would have. Imagine what richness we could experience if we could embrace the diversity of people's colors, races, beliefs, penchants, perspectives, and everything else that makes us different, yet complementary. Imagine also what a dull and stagnant world we would have if everyone were the same. We wouldn't develop thinking since we would have no need to articulate a point of view. We wouldn't develop imagination since nothing would stimulate or intrigue us. We would lose our creativity, vitality, and the zest for life. In fact, we owe even our fierce hatred and the delight of indulging in self-righteousness to the fact that there are people who are different from us. What would we do if they did not exist? The bottom line is that we need to look beyond the differences and see the wholeness that engenders them, and that the differences maintain the wholeness. When we learn that our lives, their meaning, and their continuity depend on the persistence of the ones we hate, we will value the reality that created everything, and we will be able to build love for the wholeness above the hatred for the part. Only then will there be peace and happiness. A war of dark and light forces awaits us. Question: 4 months of the virus flew by in an instant and there was practically no particularly positive news. There were snowfalls, storms, fires, earthquakes. Iran is developing a nuclear bomb again. Look what is happening in America, riots and fiery arguments. There was no good news. Men lives in this space. How can he live among all the terrible news that befell him during these 4 to 5 months? Answer: let's at least make people around the world embrace a week of positive thoughts. Only positive thoughts. Nothing else can be done. Just think positively about others. Question: do you think it would work if we could hold on to this for a week? Answer: let's try. What can we lose? It is from this, I think, that we do not lose anything. It doesn't cost anything. No one should postpone anything. We must not stop anything, we must continue living just like we do now. It is just that throughout this week, we will talk only about good relations. And how much, perhaps, we will gain from this. Let's take a look. We have all these statistics. And suddenly, we will see what we are doing only if we say kind things. Try. Question: how is all this arranged? From above? Answer: of course, from above, the United States, UN, World Health Organization, UNESCO. Question: that is, to stop political games and say, let's try to live like this for a week? Answer: yes, of course. But the fact is that they will not want it because it will immediately be discovered that we do not need anything other than this. Remark: you always have a turning point at the end when you say, but this is impossible. You suggest, let's do it. And you immediately say, but this is impossible. Answer: it is possible, but impossible. Question: that is, no one will agree to this. Answer: yes. Question: so what is our practical advice then? Answer: but there is no practical advice here. Our egoism will not allow us to do this. Question: so, you think that only this will help, but our egoism will not allow us to do it? Answer: yes. Remark: there is a dead end here. We are in it again. Please take us out of this impasse. My reply: we must nullify all egoistic relationships. We will see how much we stand face to face in front of huge egoism, and we have nowhere to go. What are we going to do without it, my dear? Remark, that is, we want this week of good thoughts to come. We cannot, we stand against the egoism and it tells us, you will never do this. Because then you will nullify me? Answer, yes. Question, is this a good state? Is it important for such a standing to appear? Answer, of course, good. Then we would at least move a little forward. Question, would we understand what hinders us, in this life? Answer, yes. But we cannot, we cannot. As the famous Russian stand-up comic Rakin said about the deficit, well, you should at least leave something. We must still try to explain it. So that when even worse times come, the virus for the second time, for the third time, it will finish us, off, weaken us, and we will agree. At least for such half measures. Question, that is, to talk about what is now impossible. Is it necessary to talk about good relationships between person to person, a week of good thoughts, and so on? Answer, anyway, everything will finally get to this. Question, will egoism eventually give up? Answer, no. There will be a huge war, an internal war, a spiritual war of forces. A war of dark and light forces. This is a biblical war, which is described in the sources. The children of light and the children of darkness. Question, is this a war between good deeds and egoism? Answer, yes. Question, so, what is next? What does it say at the end? Answer, in the end, the good forces will win. But only after a huge internal struggle, which they must accomplish internally. Question, each person out of 8 billion must go through all this? Answer, absolutely everyone. Remark, in fact, you say that the script has already been written. Answer, we will finish off this scenario. Question, but has it been written already? Answer, no. Not the final one. There are such scenes there. Question, there is a role for my free will too? Answer, absolutely. Question, so, I have to choose something? Answer, yes. What I command. Moreover, it will happen during the most critical scenes. Not in general but on the whole, everything is directed toward the victory of the good forces over the dark forces, but we command all turns and special states, we determine them. Every second we will have to give our solution through our free will and pressure to make it come true. Everything will depend on us. Although, everything is predetermined. Question, but this is so incomprehensible to a person. That is, he will walk with the feeling that it is good for the light to win, constantly face the darkness, understand that he will not overcome the darkness, this is impossible, and we will still somehow continue? Answer, of course, yes. And we will grow, like sprouts from the earth, in a new form, in an altruistic society. This is no longer an earthly society. This is a completely different view. This is a completely different birth. And we will exist in it in a different way, in the form of forces, in the form of a plan, in the form of thoughts. Question, you always give an example that a child is born upside down. I understand that I will never get through this, and suddenly an overturning, and I find myself there? Answer, yes. Question, is someone pushing us out or are we born ourselves? Answer, no, of course, all this is done by nature, by a higher nature. It pushes us, and gives birth. Question, only efforts are needed from us? Answer, we must conform to this, accompany it. This will all happen very quickly, unnoticed. And all these viruses will accompany us, until our new birth. Question, so, it turns out that viruses are actually a thrusting force? Answer, yes. They shape us. They do everything. The most important thing is not what they do in our world biologically, but that they give rise to an attitude in us, toward a new perception. It is most important. In general, everything will be fine. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 15, 2020. Are humans a virus? Comment: people are a virus. This is the opinion of one of a few movements for saving nature, for saving the environment, which is called ecofascism. Global warming threatens humanity. The industrial economy is destroying species diversity. Corporations have too much power. White people should prepare for a racial war, the movement adheres to this slogan. They believe that it is necessary to isolate people from nature, and it is desirable that viruses such as the coronavirus and other epidemics destroy some of the people. And there will remain the part of humanity that can actively develop, support nature, ecology, and reasonable consumption. My response: I do not think these movements are worthy of attention. Are humans a virus? Yes, people in today's state are a negative, selfish force of nature. They always had it, but today it has developed to such a state where they themselves cannot bear it. Therefore, this state is already becoming relatively positive, the so-called awareness of the evil of its nature. Therefore, within human society, all kinds of movements opposite to their nature arise. I respect humanity for the fact that it is looking for the answer to, what should we do with ourselves? We are so harmful, bad, we are so terrible, but where can we turn, what can we do with ourselves? We must come to a serious and real conclusion that out of all those existing on planet Earth, we are the only harmful one. Not because we eat inanimate, vegetative, animate nature, but because of what we do to ourselves. First, by destroying inanimate, vegetative, and animal nature, we bring enormous harm to the environment. But at the same time, we do great harm to ourselves because we eat ourselves, figuratively speaking, from the inside. Man is the only creature that possesses negative energy, a negative property called egoism, which is ready to kill everything and everyone. Not for your own benefit, but only so that nothing else exists nearby. He wants to see himself as the only one in the center of the world and not to have others in this world at all. Question: you spoke about the search that a person leads, the search for a way out, the search for a solution to the current situation and, in general, the change in the paradigm of the entire life of all mankind. How can he find this root point of evil in order to eradicate it and start a new movement? Answer: he cannot find it. Even if he sees how something can be changed, he does not have the strength to do it. He needs a clear implementation of the program of nature, how a person can change himself. This is inherent in the wisdom of Kabbalah. It indicates how people should unite with each other in order to extract from nature the positive force that unites them, and with the help of such unification, to channel this force through themselves to the whole environment. We must inversely change our nature and become altruists instead of egoists. The correct change of human nature to absolute goodness, to love for one's neighbor, should be at the heart of human ethics and triumph. From CabTV's News with Michael Leitman, July 1, 2020. Depression and the meaning of life. Remark: billions of people who were staying at home during quarantine are now slowly coming out of it. At the same time, a lot of problems arise with a person's psychology, with finding where to work and what to do. Psychologists say that the main thing is that reducing the pace of life will make us think about how and why we live. In fact, they say the main problem is when a person begins to think about the meaning of life, what he is living for. My comment: this is natural. When he sees his life both in quarantine and without quarantine, before the coronavirus and after the coronavirus, and with new viruses, he will still start to feel, what is happening to me? Why is nature playing with me? This is where we need to start organizing a person. Question: what will you tell him so he would hear, would suddenly feel the light at the end of the tunnel? Answer: nature is offering us an ultimate solution, you, All of you together will have to correct yourself to the likeness to nature, that is, to create a good human community on this earth. Through the correction of relationships between people, you will begin to feel our world is infinite, eternal perfection. Question: should education be directed toward this? Answer: nurture the relationship between people so that you create harmonious common humanity. Remark: I was running around all the time, looking for work, filling myself with work. And now you are telling me, you came to a halt. Stop. None of this will exist. Start thinking about how to build good connections between people. My comment: yes. This is the work. This is precisely the work of a person. Question: are you referring this to each person? Answer: absolutely everyone. Question: not only to those who manage people? Answer: no. To all people. There is no management here. There is more mutual help than management here. Question: does it mean that the simplest, most inconspicuous person begins to think, how do I build good relationships with other people, with the inner circle, the far circle, and so on? Answer: yes. Question: do you call this work? Answer: of course. Question: should he receive some kind of compensation for this? After all, he must have something to live on. Answer: he will receive compensation. Human society will be arranged in such a way that it will be paying for this, giving everyone a kind of stipend. Question: that is, a person is paid for building good connections with others? This is something new, this is a revolution for humanity. Answer: why? This is work. Perhaps you will be able to measure it. Question: will humanity agree to this? After all, someone has to pay for this. Answer: it will have to agree. Question: firstly, where can we get money to pay people for such work, which, in principle, was not considered work before? Answer: money is printed, there are no problems with this. We can print notes or maybe tokens. People will work if necessary for society enterprises, which will be constantly reorganized so that they are as environmentally friendly as possible. That's it. Let's say that 20% of people, constantly replacing one another, will have to work at these enterprises that produce what people need. Only for people and only what people need. They will spend all the rest of the time and effort on creating a correct connection between themselves. Question: to do this, a person will have to study. As you already said, 20% of the people will be working, replacing each other. And 80% will be sitting at desks, from young to old. Will they be paid for learning how to build good connections with each other? Answer: yes. There will be a necessary living standard, and that is it. And there will be a very kind, good atmosphere. Question: there will be no depression? Answer: no. First of all, envy will disappear. Envy will remain only in the form of, can I do as much for society as others, and not less? Meaning: positive envy. Question: in what will a person feel the meaning of life then? Answer: he will attain the Creator in a correct connection between him and the others. This is the reward that is more elevated and perfect than any other. He will feel his life as eternal, perfect, and complete. Question: why will the Creator come to a person the moment he builds good connections with others? Why will the Creator be revealed to him? Answer: according to the law of equivalence of form between the Creator and a person who builds himself in good relationships with others. Question: let's say that the Creator is revealed to me, to the ordinary person. What does it mean for me? What is it? Answer: the feeling that you exist in an eternal, perfect space. The entire cosmos, everything around you, feels like your home, your eternal, perfect state. You perceive this not through your body, not through your animalistic state, but rather through another, more elevated state, which is called soul. This is natural and accessible to everyone. I am sure that this will become a very urgent need in the coming years. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, May 25, 2020. Who is to blame for the destruction of the temple? The ninth of Av symbolizes the destruction of the temple, which occurred because of the unfounded hatred in the people of Israel. And we see that throughout history there have been and are some groups within the Jewish people who are at war with one another. This is the very same hatred. The Jews are the people that Abraham gathered in ancient Babylon when there was hatred between people. He taught that there is only one remedy against hatred, to rise to love above all hatred that had grown to the heavens like the Tower of Babel. Some of the inhabitants of Babylon followed Abraham and he took them from Babylon to Canaan, to the land of Israel. The rest remained in Babylon. Abraham taught his disciples to live by the law of loving one's neighbor as oneself. This main rule, love, will cover all crimes, separated them from all other peoples of the world who remained in Babylon and then scattered throughout the earth. And those who followed Abraham were representatives of all nations, but they were able to unite together and become the people of Israel, which means straight to the Creator, Yasharakel, that is, straight to unity, to love one's neighbor. They strive to get closer and become brothers, and to some extent they succeeded. They had to go through the Egyptian exile, through many trials on their way, but it only strengthened them. They became closer and really became one people. They called themselves Israel, straight to the Creator, as a sign that they were striving for one power, the power of love. But egoism does not calm down, it awakens again and confuses a person, so over time, various groups began to form in the people of Israel that opposed the method of Abraham. They wanted to live under capitalism so that everyone would do what they wanted instead of living as one community. Real wars and struggles began between them. Throughout history, the people of Israel have been at war within themselves, and the reason is always the same, for or against unification. This was the case when the first temple and the second temple were destroyed. All the downfalls were only because some groups called for uniting and covering all crimes with love, while others were against and did not agree. This continues to this day. That is why the people of Israel have been subjected to exile, much suffering, and dislike by all the peoples of the world. After all, other peoples also came out of ancient Babylon, only they forgot about it. Today both Jews and the nations of the world are scattered throughout the earth, and no one knows what love for one's neighbor is. Since then, egoism has grown terribly in Jews and in the nations of the world. It is necessary to awaken the root cause in all to find out what is happening to the world, why the nations of the world still have grievances against the people of Israel, and what the mission of the people of Israel is. This needs to be explained to everyone. Historians attribute the destruction of the first temple to the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar and the second temple to the Roman emperor Titus. However, Jews believe that the destruction was caused by conflicts within the people of Israel itself. And indeed, the reason for everything was unfounded hatred and disunity. By our resistance to unification, we caused the destruction of the first and second temples. All our misfortunes are caused by the fact that we do not get along with one another and cannot achieve unity in the people of Israel. Outwardly, it seems that the imperial troops and enemies are to blame for the destruction, but in fact, we ourselves, by the presence or absence of connection between us, set these empires for or against our existence and see the natural result. A foreign external force only executes the sentence, but we ourselves activate these forces within our own people. So we have no one to blame for our bitter fate but ourselves. And today the same thing is happening. Persia, today's Iran, and other Arab countries are against us, and all because there is no proper connection within us, and this creates a world of division and hatred among all. Other nations may also have internal enmity, but there is no such hatred as there is in the people of Israel, because we hate the Jews within ourselves. The inner Jew is the desire that requires us, to unite above our egoism and show the world that it is possible to live in peace, tranquility, and unity, and this will be the correction of the whole world. This is what the Jew inside us says, but we do not want to listen to him. Only Kabbalists who study the science of Kabbalah, in which it is clearly spelled out in black and white for thousands of years, know that the Torah is based on its great rule, love for one's neighbor as oneself. But no one wants to listen to them. After all, unification sounds very beautiful in words, but as soon as people try to implement it, they become convinced that it is simply impossible and that it requires all of a person's attention and one's whole life. And people are not ready for this. This requires either a special integral education or very great suffering, which will make people give up their egoism and get closer to one another. For more on this topic, read my books Like a Bundle of Reeds, Why Unity and Mutual Guarantee Are Today's Call of the Hour, and The Jewish Choice, Unity or Anti-Semitism, Historical Facts on Anti-Semitism as a Reflection of Jewish Social Discord. From Cab TV's Global Perspectives, July 26, 2020. New Life 1264. Coping with the Socioeconomic Crisis.
Hello everyone, and thanks for joining us on our show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Dr. Lightman, hello everyone. Olin, hello, Nitza Mazoz. Nitza, hello. And today we'd like to talk about the shift from an economic to a social crisis. We'd love to talk about other things, but we have to prepare ourselves for the things that are coming and see what's the solution. Be with us, Nitza, please. Nitza. Yeah. Since the COVID crisis, since it came to our life, we went through many things. And on this show, we'd like to take a look at society, at the Israeli society, and at society as a whole, all around the world, that's going through a certain process. We see that at first, the Israeli public were they really felt solidarity, we were all together, there was this feeling of that people listened, they were tolerant, we obeyed the different orders that we got, instructions. This was the general atmosphere in Israel and around the world that we're all fighting this one virus. And as time went by, our society that at first seemed united, it seems as though it's starting to fall apart. The unity is dissipating. Economic problems started. There are different questions that rise in every person. What's going to happen? Who's going to compensate me for what I've lost? Who's going to care for me? How will I get what I deserve in order to be able to keep them up? In order to be able to survive. We see that everyone is becoming more and more concerned with themselves. People are kind of becoming more introverted in regard to caring for themselves, their immediate families. And we're in a stage where there's already intolerance. People no longer obey the rules, instructions. There's a feeling that everyone's taking the law into their own hands because they know better, because nothing can help. Nothing will help him. And from there, the way to violence and unpleasant processes is pretty short. We also have a promo. We see what's going on in the United States. And therefore, today we'd really like to talk about our social structure, the Israeli social structure. How do you see this process that the Israeli society is going through? Dr. Lightman, you see things for what they are? Because we always see that at first, like those that founded the kibbutzes, different movements. At first, they were always idealists, and gradually, our ego that exists in everyone awakens and starts growing. And then all of these movements that are at first pretty, they talk about connection and listening and contributing, mutual help and so on. It all comes to an end pretty quickly. And the ego actually takes over all of the good relations that at first we thought that we will be able to build, to have them as our ideal. So these are natural things, and this is also what happens now. It just shows us that we're still in our egoistic nature that's taking these things for itself. Nitsa, why is society such a sensitive thing? Because we see that everything threatens to take it apart, Dr. Lightman, because society consists of individualists, egoists, and therefore you don't have like this one uniform social texture that keeps everything together. No, you don't have that. And so immediately, when there is some kind of egoistic obstruction that always exists, but when it grows and shows itself, then everyone turns to that. Nitsa, what holds this social texture, structure at the moment? We're still connected. What keeps us together the way you see things? Dr. Lightman, several things. Not knowing what the future holds. Fear of having serious problems, disasters in the family and in the country, if we're talking about ourselves. The state of Israel has several more problems and fears and social anxieties of different kinds. In addition, and the unknown thing itself, which is the virus. We don't know it. We don't understand it. We see from day to day that it's becoming more and more cunning and unknown. And therefore, no one's jumping. And besides that, it's a worldwide international problem that has to do with countries, scientists, doctors, governments, everyone. It affects everyone personally and all of us in general and families and governments. In short, here we're in a state, in a situation, like we're all connected under one problem like never before. And therefore, this unique state actually stabilizes things. Nitsa, so on the one hand, it stabilizes us, the fear, the uncertainty stabilizes us in a certain way as a society, but alongside with this, we see that the implications that it brings with it are starting to take us apart from the inside. Now, before the corona came, we had other threats that threatened our society that are more ideological, political, different things of that kind. Is there a difference between a threat of one kind and a threat of another kind, socially wise, that might take our society apart from the inside? Dr. Lightman, all the rest of the problems, we know how to deal with them, even though that they are more serious problems in the meantime. Whereas the coronavirus, because it belongs to everyone, therefore we cannot do many actions with it. But actually, I don't think that there's a kind of fear or anything. I see how people go to different parties, go to the sea, to the beach, to the park, everywhere. They don't care about nothing. As if to me it won't happen. And so even though that it's the coronavirus and that it is a worldwide blow, a global blow, precisely because of that, no one takes it seriously personally. Well, and I think that the fear that people feel today transitioned a long time from the health aspect to the economic aspect. A normal person is supposed to be concerned with what will he feed his family with this month and the next, and that the situation isn't getting any better, and we don't see anything better in the future, and more businesses are collapsing, and people aren't going back to work, that we thought, okay, we were locked at home for a certain period of time, but afterwards everything will go back to normal. But you see that, no, it's not happening. And if at first we had this feeling like we have some common problem, like a time of war, today no more. Today the war is between different forces in society. Now, I don't want to take anyone's side. We're not politicians. We don't want to grade the government or the public or the self-employed or anyone else. Doesn't matter. All of us are everything. We want to understand the serious distress that we find ourselves in. And why does it bring us to fight each other? When there's a common problem and everyone feels that we're in it together, let's think about it together and we'll find a way out. But here, and this is what's frightening, we see that the Israeli society is starting to be torn in different directions, reaching an inner explosion. And this is even more pressuring because for sure we won't reach a solution this way. So from this place, how do you see things, and especially what can you offer in order to take society a step forward?
Yes,
Dr. Leitman, I have a solution. Only that the smart Jewish mind, as you put it, won't want it. And the solution is simple. The coronavirus wants just one thing. For us to relate to it, to treat it as a problem, as a disease, as a problem that is common for the entire Jewish people and all of humanity as a whole. And if it's really a global blow, can you imagine? 8 billion people have one problem. So what does this problem actually tells us? What does it say? It says, I want for you to stand against me, all of you together. All of you together, because I am about to attack you. Respond together, all of you. This is what the Corona says. And therefore, I think that here actually we have a very good opportunity. The people of Israel have a very good opportunity to show its historic destiny. That it has to bring change, this big change that has to be brought to mankind, and all shall know me from small to great. My home shall be called a home of prayer to all nations. That the Jewish people, the people of Israel, exist in order to unite all nations into a single nation. Oh, and so what's the solution? Dr. Leitman, the solution is that we have to explain to the entire world, to all of humanity, that the only solution is connection. Oh, and connection meaning what? Dr. Lightman, for us to start understanding that we are all a part of one nation. Olin, meaning what, Dr. Lightman? That there is just one nation all around the world consisting of, suppose, 8 billion people. Olin, let's take the Israeli society as micro-humanity instead of 8 billion, 8 million. Even here, we can't feel that we're one nation. For a simple reason, maybe the economic crisis due to the corona, maybe it didn't do anything to you, but it shattered me. I have nothing with what to feed my children with, so we're no longer one nation now. That's the problem today, so what do? Dr. Lightman, what we do is, first of all, what you said about the people of Israel, that it is a small part, let it be a small part. That it's like a mini humanity. But first of all, we have to explain to the people of Israel what is their destiny historically, geographically, psychologically. What do we have to do in relation to humanity, in relation to nature? Why do we have to be united? It also says about this in the Torah, by the way. Still, 50% of this nation, they respect what it says in the Torah. They're, so to speak, believers. And so we have to show everyone that we're headed toward connection. All in economically wise connection. What does that mean? How will that ensure that tomorrow I'll have what to feed my family with? Suppose you weren't hit by the crisis, but I was. Dr. Lightman, we have to make sure that everyone, no matter what happens, will have how to provide for their family. Oh, and so that's advancement already. So you're saying that the country has to give every citizen this basic level of confidence, doesn't matter who he was. Was he self-employed? Was he employed by someone? Is he a millionaire? No matter who and what, you're a part of this nation. We're taking upon ourselves a collective responsibility that you will have, that you will be able to meet, provide for your basic needs. That's the first thing. Okay, what now? Nitza, I wanted to ask, this is something that shifts responsibility to the government, suppose. I, as a citizen, am I also responsible in any way? To feel like what you just explained, that maybe I wasn't harmed or hurt by the crisis, but my neighbor was. How am I responsible for Olin, for example? Dr. Lightman, personally, not. It should be on the governmental level, political level, that they provide, they make sure that every household has what they need, so and so much electricity, water, food, this, that. This is something that we provide to every family. Nitza, so how will the connection that you mentioned, how will be expressed in terms of the connection? Dr. Lightman, we're not talking about connection right now. We're talking about our basic needs, because as it says in the Torah, no bread, no flour, no Torah. First of all, we have to have bread. We need to have our basic needs met. Nitza, okay. So, we're not struggling to survive anymore. We get into our bank account. Dr. Light, no, not into your bank account. Every family has they're delivered with a basket with their basic needs, you know, food for a week. Nitza, so why not, you know, why not give them money and go buy? Dr. Lightman, I don't believe in that. Of course you can do it through supermarkets with some kind of card, some kind of something. That you get there, you come there, and you have like stamps or something, I don't know, something like that. Nitza, but then it really solves my problem in terms of food. What about accommodation? What about my ability to pay my bills? Dr. Lightman, Gradually, you can't fix things from one day to the next, but at least there's a law that for a year you can't throw your tendon out. Well, we can arrange these things. Nitsa to protect him, for him not to find himself on the street. Dr. Leitman. True, you know, you have different hotels, all those offices that are standing empty. Turn all these things into apartments, and that's it. Nitsa. After we straighten these things out, everyone has their basic needs, no one's hungry, and the serious fear that the public has now calms down. What's the next stage? Dr. Leitman, not the next stage. Along with this, we open an educational system that now we have to start working on educating the coronavirus generation. How do we bring them to a state where they will know what is the meaning of life, how to live, how to survive, what does nature want of us? Nature doesn't want to put us on a diet with a can of something a week. But nature wants for us to unite, because in our connection, we start working. We start treating each other above our ego. And this way, we start coming closer to being above our nature, to a higher nature, to bestow love, connection, mutual consideration. Oh, and what can bring love in such an explosive situation where everyone feels that they were screwed, that they're treated unfairly? In such a reality, how can you pour love into that, Dr. Leitman? No one pours love into that, and don't catch me on a specific word. It's all a process. It's all a process that we have to take people through because we have no choice. No one wants it. No one's happy about it. But we're learning about the process that nature is opening up to us and is taking us through from one state to the next. Oh, and nature wants to take us from what to what state in the corona generation. Dr. Leitman, I'll tell you. From the state of egoistic to altruistic relations. Oh, and what is this and what is that, Dr. Leitman? That everyone thinks only to his own benefit and to the detriment of others. And the altruistic state is the opposite. Oh, and the opposite how, Dr. Leitman? That I think to the benefit of others. Oh, and why, Dr. Leitman? Because by that, our entire society is becoming similar to nature, and therefore it is treated favorably by nature on all levels. Humanity is treated favorably by nature on all levels. Oh, and so the essence of the transition, the education that the corona generation needs, you also named it. That's beautiful. Corona generation needs a new education that will take each of us as an individual from an egocentric perception, thinking only what do I deserve, to how can I benefit others. If I understand this is the essence of the change, I asked why. Why will this happen? You said because this will make people similar to nature. What does that mean? And where in nature did you see that some individual thinks to the benefit of others? Dr. Leitman, no, we never saw something like this. We saw to the contrary. All in nature is survival. Dr. Leitman, all the more, everyone thinks how to harm others, how to eat them up. Oh, and yeah, that's how nature is built. I don't think that for them it's on the emotional level. You know, that's the food chain. Dr. Leitman, true. But today, we're already starting today to see things differently. Nature disagrees with us remaining egoists, but starts breaking our character, the relations between us, and wants for us to start treating each other the opposite way, differently. And unless we start treating each other favorably, then what we'll get is suffering, blows, problems, troubles, really, on a regular basis. Oh, and there's something like a trick here, instilled in the process. Dr. Leitman, it's not a trick. It's simply a kind of inversion, a flip, that if up until now we've developed egoistically, and it was clear to us, this is how things were clear to us, because it suits everyone's nature. And therefore, what we've built is everything egoistically, and this is how we treated each other, and everyone treated others this way. In short, it was all clear. Whereas now, we will have to treat each other differently. The problem is that we're not suited to this change. We're not suited to it. So how will I know how to relate to these things? We have to know how to activate integral education for all of us to learn what does nature want of us in this new era, and how will we start building ourselves and society, a new human society, global human society. Oh, and we have a minute and a half left, so I want to ask. Previously you said nature doesn't want for us to go on a diet with, you know, as a basket with food like you give poor people that are starving or something. This isn't what nature is directing us toward. What is it? Dr. Leitman, nature is directing us toward taking this carton that we have outside our door, bring it in, be happy with what we got, and not want more. Oh, and so nature is directing us toward a diet, Dr. Leitman. No, once you agree to it, you're not on a diet anymore. A diet is where you feel that you're restricted. And nature wants for you to feel that you're not restricted, but that you really don't want more. You don't need more. What you got is enough for you. Oh, and it sounds terrible, I have to tell you, Dr. Leitman. Why? Oh, and this is what society is going to develop to, that you give a person a piece of bread and he says, thank you, Dr. Leitman. No, suppose your carton, the carton that you got, is a magical one. You put your hand in and you say, I want to take out, I don't know, salmon fish. You take out salmon fish. I want to take out a bottle of champagne. You take out a bottle of champagne. Oh, and it's like in the fairy tales, Dr. Leitman. No, not fairy tales. What society will determine that this is a normal basket of basic groceries for everyone. And suppose you like, I don't know, baked foods, and I like spicy foods and whatever. So this is how we're going to do it. Oh, and what can save the Israeli people or the Jewish people or the Israeli public from a social crisis? Dr. Leitman, if we'll get the correct education, we won't have a social crisis. If we don't, we'll develop, evolve in a terrible way from crisis to crisis. Oh, and thank you very much. Till next time, all the best.
Diamonds that can't be stolen. Comment: the pandemic has shown that no one needs jewelry. Their market is falling rapidly. Suddenly a person realized that he needed to dress a little, eat, and the diamonds that he wore to show others were not needed. They say that the jewelry market has fallen 10 times and is falling further. What is in them? Why were they bought for such crazy money? And humanity appreciated them and killed each other because of them. So much blood has been spilled. My response: because it is rare. Diamonds are mined in the ground with great difficulty. Then they are polished and cut. In the end, it costs money. Question: what is it about them in your understanding? Answer: Kabbalistically? Absolutely nothing. People just give it a price. For example, he took some piece of paper and gave it a price. And now it's all worthless? Comment: in such difficult times, between bread and diamonds, a person chooses bread. My response: of course. He will give everything for bread. Comment: that is, there is value in bread, but not in diamonds. My response: because the most important thing is life. Question: why is this done from above, by a higher power? Answer: so that people will stop defining values in this world that seem to them to be values. Question: so we pray to this God? And this is not God at all? Answer: of course. Well, what's in this pebble? Question: why are we being directed toward it? So much blood has been shed. Wars started because of it. Answer: humanity needs something valuable, precious, so that it can fight for it, speculate, sell, buy, exchange, store, and inherit it. How else? There must be some value in life. I don't exist, I am dying. What's next? Where do I contain my value? I have to put it in something. Question: this is scary, what you say. That is, I put it in this rock. Answer: and I pass it on to my grandson. Comment: I give him this value and say, live like this. Live like this. My response: and it helps him in everything, because I give him something that is appreciated by all people. Question: by this I give him strength. Answer: of course. And today all this is beginning to undergo a reassessment of values. Question: and what are we approaching? Answer: to the fact that there is nothing of value. Question: is there nothing valuable in this life? Answer: generally. Except for thought. We come back to what we were talking about, except for the thought that you can pass on to your grandson, there is nothing valuable in the world. Using your thought, he really acquires wealth. What is thought in general? Is it empty? But he really gets something that exists eternally, perfectly, and no one can steal and do anything about it. This is the most important wealth, the attitude toward life, the attitude toward people. Thought is your inner wealth. This is more precious than any diamond. In our time, we are coming to a state of radical reassessment of values. That is, what was valuable to me, for which I fought, lived, died, tried to accumulate, pass on to the next generations, all this is losing its value today, is worth nothing. Question: after all, where are we going now? What will life really cost? Money? Answer: just a thought. Question: but doesn't that seem abstract to you for a person? Answer: and what does a person have that is not abstract at all, if he lives and dies? This means that the most valuable thing is that he can take from one state, when he lives, to that state when he dies, beyond the brink of death. Question: can he take a thought there? Answer: of course. This is what remains with him. Question: what thought needs to be worked out now so that it is valuable and necessary? Answer: a positive attitude toward the world and toward others. It doesn't go anywhere. This stays with you constantly because it is not in your egoism, which dies with the body and decays, but is in altruism, in the good qualities that you acquire during your earthly life. And then you fly away with them, enter another space, the space of positive properties and forces. We exist in order to accumulate such positive emotions, thoughts, desires, motives, and impulses and leave with them. I leave this world, passing, as far as I could, a positive attitude toward the world, toward people, and toward life to my children and grandchildren, and in general to everyone. Question: do you think that this is your mission and all of ours? Answer: of course. But that's my opinion. Question: but is this the opinion of Kabbalists of all generations? Answer: yes, of course. Comment: And what I now see, as everyone writes in the comments, evil, horror, hatred, breakage. My response, this pushes us to assess what we really need to identify from our life, collect and transmit, and teach the next generation. Question, that is, how to push off from this darkness and move toward a good thought? Answer, yes. Everything will be fine. From CAB TV's News with Dr. Michael Leitman, June 15, 2020. Managing Stress, Part 4. Targeted Pressure. Question, there are different types of stress. For example, professional stress is associated with conflicts at work. Marital stress arises around problems in the family. Emotional stress can be caused by some kind of intense experience. Physiological stress arises from trauma or illness, and psychological stress from dissatisfaction with oneself or relationships with other people. Information stress is caused by information overload and environmental stress from unfavorable living conditions. Can a condition cause stress when a person is looking for the meaning of life and does not find it? Answer, of course. After all, stress is a feeling of indecision, the inability to connect the desired with the attainable. Any little thing can be stressful. If, for example, I open a drawer and don't find my glasses there, then this already causes me some stress. Stress is the mismatch between what is desired and what is being realized. Naturally, today's life consists of only stress. Question, it turns out that nature has placed us in a reality where there is always pressure on desire. If you imagine yourself as a kind of desire to receive, to be filled, to enjoy, then satisfaction is achieved extremely rarely because desires are constantly growing and it becomes more and more difficult to fill them. Where is this all going? Answer, to the realization of how we get out of this state, what it depends on, what it leads to. Question, can I be in such a state where nothing presses on me or I do not feel this pressure? Answer, no, such a state gradually passes and is replaced by the feeling that something presses on you in a certain direction, and this pressure has a beginning and an end, it has a meaning, and you must comprehend, reveal this meaning. Only then can you get rid of the pressure. And then you begin to feel that if this pressure should lead you to a higher state, then you do not need to get rid of it. You just need to understand to where you have to come. And then for you it will already be felt not as pressure, but as an accompaniment in your development. Question, it turns out that a person begins to feel physiological and psychological pressures as targeted. Moreover, they are not only personal, but global, for example, a financial crisis or a pandemic. Many people do not understand that there is some kind of design in this. Answer, we are moving toward a state where everyone will find themselves in a huge general crisis, not understanding how we can exist. Moreover, it will be felt not by one person, or one family, or some small society, but the whole world. The coronavirus should lead us to this. From CAB TV's Management Skills, June 25, 2020.